Hello, everyone. I'm Amazon, and this is Mon's Guide to Talk for Thursday, 19th of October, 2023. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about everything that Apple announced at its event a few days back, really. The Scary Fast event, including new MacBooks, the M3 chip, and a new iMac. We're going to talk about this. We've got all this and much, much more. So without further ado, let's get rolling, shall we? Alright, so Apple did its Scary Fast event on Tuesday morning, Bahrain time, but technically Monday evening, US time. And they basically showed off new Macs, but primarily a brand new processor, the M3 series of processors, the M3, the M3 Pro, and the M3 Max. Basically, the third generation of Apple's sort of home-built, homegrown, processors, 3-nanometer architecture with a whole bunch of new features. A system on chip. It includes a new generation GPU that apparently features dynamic caching, and what it really is compared to old school caching that you have on your computer that sort of increases access to memory when on tasks it thinks is very high. This one, in the name, it's pretty much dynamic, which means that it's sort of constantly sending memory. And that means that you get access to features much, much faster. Along with that, the GPU finally has support for hardware-accelerated ray tracing and mesh shading for the very first time. Compared to the first M1 chips, rendering speeds with the GPU are apparently 2.5 times faster, according to Apple. Along with that, when compared to M1 chip, which was the very first sort of Apple Silicon processor, CPU performance cores are pretty much 30% faster than M1 and 50% faster efficiency cores, along with 60% faster neural engine performance. Great for all that LLM action and all that onboard Llama 2 performance. Aside from that, the media engine that does all that rendering and all that crispy 4K video rendering for Final Cut Pro and much, much more now has support for AV1, so you can easily make YouTube videos without any issues, but also get access to high quality video streaming that is obviously more efficient overall. So that's pretty impressive. And as a result, we're getting a new MacBook Pro and an iMac, so that's pretty cool in a way. And as I've mentioned, dynamic caching is probably a pretty significant feature for the GPU, in that it sort of allocates memory more like in real time and not like when the apps sort of open, but before the apps really open. So if that makes any sense, you know, compared to old school caching, it spins up memory much more quickly. So that's pretty interesting in a way. But also, you're getting the same apparent power efficiency is the best part about the M series chips. The M3 GPU gives you apparently the same performance as M1 at half the power. So it's even more efficient compared to the first Apple Silicon processor. So again, it is kind of leaps and bounds ahead. So we've got three different options: the main M3 chip, the Pro, and the Max. The M3 main processor, kind of designed for regular tasks like everything from web browsing all the way to normal gaming at 1080p and video editing. The main M3 chip features 25 billion transistors, apparently five more billion from the M2 processor, with a 10-core GPU, 8-core CPU. It is apparently 35% faster than the M1, like for like in performance, and has support for up to 24 gigabytes of RAM. That's combined memory, pretty much, for both the graphic units and the main processor. The M3 Pro has 37 billion transistors, a 12-core CPU, 18-core GPU, with up to 36 gigabytes of RAM. Combined RAM, pretty much, for both the processor and the graphics, and is great for video, for all kinds of content editing, from video editing all the way up to editing high resolution photos. Apparently, it's 40% faster for graphics compared to the M1 Pro, and 30% faster in terms of performance with the CPU on the M1 Pro. So it's truly leaps and bounds ahead, and again, a great option if you are really a professional content creator, videographer, photographer, pretty much, And you're probably wondering about the CPU design. It has 6 performance cores and 6 efficiency cores, so you get plenty of performance. And again, it's much, much faster compared to the M1 series and also the previous sort of final Intel Max that came out in years past. The M3 Max is the ultimate. Now, the weird part is the Pro and the Max sort of been announced at the same time as the main M3 chip, but that also kind of means Apple kind of has those designs ready, and they've sort of already have released these processors. And so, will we see an M3 Ultra? I don't think so. Side note, but the M3 Max would probably be sufficient. You're probably wondering why it's quite sufficient. The M3 Max, on the other hand, moving on really, has 92 billion transistors, a 40-core GPU, a 16-core CPU. The 16-core CPU comes with 12 performance cores and 4 efficiency cores, along with 2 ProRes media engines, making it the very best video production process, really the very best chip for video editing and video production and post-production for the Mac. If you're looking for a MacBook Pro, or you're looking for a Mac generally with a processor that can take on that task of chewing through so much video and doing 8K video editing or spatial, or really editing spatial content. If you're going to get the Apple Vision Pro headset, you want to edit spatial video content, is the ultimate processor that you might want to consider. Pretty much 128 gigabytes of unified memory support, as I've said already. This would be great for AI developers who want to work on larger LLMs and probably make their own as the ultimate processor for that, interestingly enough. And the M3 Pro and Max will be available on the new MacBook Pro, and the iMac's only getting the M3, in case you missed it. So, all in all, it's a pretty impressive processor for what it is. And again, Apple obviously really is knows how to squeeze the most out of their hardware and software, more or less. So it's probably the latest in efficiency, so much so that the new MacBook Pro with the M3 chips will get you up to 22 hours of battery life, and 22 hours of battery life letting you watch browse and watch videos, so that's pretty cool in a way. And they're carbon neutral, so that's pretty cool. That's the best part about the M series chips compared to, say, the Intel processors, that they don't consume much power. And they let you do a lot more with not much, really. So it's fairly impressive. Now let's talk about the Macs that have sort of been announced other than the M3 chip. Firstly is the 14-inch MacBook Pro, which is basically your box standard MacBook Pro for entrepreneurs, for startup types, for students, video editors, content creators, TikTokers, YouTubers, and mobile app developers. You know, you do your Xcode, you edit videos on CapCut, Final Cut. You probably are running multi-million dollar companies. You're probably running a drop shipping operation. The 14-inch Pro with M3 would be great, pretty much. It's 60% faster compared to the 13-inch MacBook Pro with M1. So it's approximately 14 inches. The 16-inch, on the other hand, is only okay. The 16-inch, however, you can't get that with the M3, so do keep that in mind. The M3 MacBook Pro, for context, is 7.4 times faster than the 13-inch MacBook Pro with Core i7, the final sort of i7 MacBook Pro. And for Xcode compilation, it is 3.7 times faster than the last sort of MacBook Pro with an i7 chip. So it's fairly impressive for what it is, and it's good for, as I've said, for influencers, content creators, entrepreneurs, businesses, IT kind of types who want a MacBook Pro. But if you want more performance, as I said, you already are a serious content creator. You do 4K video editing, 4K HDR editing, app development. You run through lots of data science notebooks and those kind of things. The MacBook Pro with M3 Pro is the one to get. You get in 14 and 16 inch variants, and also the M3 Max also comes in 14 and 16 inches, so it's fairly impressive for what it is. So yeah, the 16 inch is going to be getting the M3 Pro and M3 Max, so that's, as I said, in case you missed it. Also, it is available in a 14 inch variant if you want a lower performance in sort of a compact form factor. Fun fact, my laptop that I'm recording with, the Windows laptop, is I think 13 or 14 inches. So it's still big for what it is. But The thing is, the screen, the display is sort of like shrink, the bezel is sort of shrinked, so it will feel a little bit small, but still it's quite compact and you won't feel a difference. You won't really miss a beat. You won't really skip a beat here. The M3 Max MacBook Pro also comes in 14, 16 inches. It's 2.5 times faster than the M1 Max variant 16-inch MacBook Pro. You get support up to 128 gigabytes of RAM on this bad boy, so that's definitely impressive. For context, you can noise reduction in DaVinci Resolve is 2.7 times faster than the fastest Intel MacBook Pro, and 65% faster than the M1 Max MacBook Pro. Along with that, if you want to do simulations in MathWorks, MATLAB, it's 5.5 times faster than an Intel MacBook Pro. That's like the fastest out there. I think that's the i7 or i9 variant. So one of the last like MacBook Pros with an Intel chip. So it's pretty much great for AI. It's great for data science, and probably great for making spatial video content and 4K, 8K editing with HDR and everything all dialed up to the max, hence the name. So that's pretty impressive in a way. But the key feature of this new MacBook Pro that's coming out, on top of the M3 processors, is you're getting 11 additional hours of battery life compared to an Intel MacBook Pro. So that's fairly already impressive, because ever since Apple switched to the Apple Silicon for the MacBook Pros, it's gotten slightly longer battery life. So this already is not a surprise to begin with. Okay, the MacBook Pro 14 and 16 inch will be coming with a Liquid Retina XDR display, which gives you 1000 nits of brightness, so pretty much standard HDR. For just typical sustained brightness, that's pretty impressive, and 1600 nits of peak brightness for HDR. When you're editing HDR content or viewing HDR content, it goes up to 1600 nits peak brightness from 1000, so that's pretty fairly impressive. SDR content, on the other hand, really will be run at 600 nits of brightness, but still 20% brighter than previous Retina displays on the MacBook Pro. So that's pretty impressive. So it's almost beyond 2K resolution. That's safe to assume. There's no technical specs here, but it is safe to say it could be beyond 2K resolution. And another key feature, okay, another one I want to touch upon here, I'm going to add this myself here, is no space bar anymore. No touch bar, sorry, no touch bar. Why did I say space bar? No touch bar on the MacBook Pros. All the models, the M3 models of the MacBook Pro, will not be coming with a touch bar, so rest in peace, touch bar. We dearly missed it. Though not many people used it, to be fair, so I don't think anyone's going to miss it, frankly. There are actual features people missed, like USB-C ports, okay, the HDMI port, micro SD card slot. We've gotten those back, the SD card and HDMI slot. So that's a serious win for pros, and also a MagSafe plug. So that's also on the M3 MacBook Pros. Now, other than the lack of a touch bar, the MacBook Pro with M3 Pro and M3 Max will be coming in a stunning space black finish, which is impressive. It's made of an anodization seal, which gives it like a matte-ish kind of finish, so there's not much, you won't get any fingerprints or weird spots on the space black MacBook Pro. It is aluminium, but as I said, it's got this sort of sealing that means that it will be a little bit matte when you use it. But the regular MacBook Pro M3 will be available in silver and space gray, like the previous MacBook Pros of yesteryears. So that's pretty impressive, and of course it comes with the latest version of macOS Sonoma. So it's fairly impressive, MacBook Pros, for all kinds of possible use cases beyond just browsing the internet and browsing social media. So it's fairly impressive, in a way. The 14-inch will start at $1,599, so $1,599. Still kind of expensive, but a little cheaper compared to the M2 series MacBook Pro base price. The 14-inch MacBook Pro with the M3 Pro chip will start at $1,999, so around $2,000 before taxes. And the 16-inch MacBook Pro with the M3 Pro chip will start at $2,499, so $2,499 for regular users. So that's pretty. So that's kind of similar. The fact that the M3 Pro is sort of starting at the same price is not surprising if you've bought an M2 Pro MacBook Pro. It's sort of the same sort of starting price, fortunately. But the 14-inch M3 at $15.99 is quite compelling. Like, given the allure of the MacBook Pro, it's quite alluring. And the education pricing is also quite tempting, $14.99. Obviously, if you decide to buy the M3 MacBook Pro after sales and stuff, sale with sales and discounts and rebates, it'll end up coming around between $1,000 to $1,500. So it's a pretty good bargain in that sense. But also at full price, the M3 MacBook Pro is fairly competitively. It's a fair price. You know, you're getting an Apple laptop that is an absolute beast. If you use it to the max, the M3 MacBook Pro, if you use it in marketing, if you use it as a business, you use it for all your tasks that are not intensive. You're not doing app development. You're not, editing 4K HDR video and the likes. Then that base, then the main, the normal 14-inch M3 is more than enough for like 60% of use cases, more or less. Just make sure to get more memory because you won't be able to, switch out the storage or the RAM on the MacBook Pro because it's all soldered in. So that's the only thing I'd suggest, is to just get the one with the right amount of memory so you don't miss out on making the most of the MacBook. That's the last thing you'd want, is that you run out of storage or memory to make the most of the MacBooks. So that's pretty impressive in a way. The MacBook Pro, though, if you ask me, the 16-inch Pro in space black with the M3 Pro and M3 Max, that's a wowzer. That's a wow. Like, there's a meme recently, looking like a wow. That's it. I just had to add that in there. So that's pretty impressive. And these MacBook Pros will be available starting next week. So that's fairly impressive in a way. The other Mac that sort of was shown off at the event also, is the iMac, which is the new 24-inch iMac. So that's now the thing about this one, is it's not been upgraded in the past couple of years. The last time we saw an updated iMac was 2020, when the M1 chip came out. That was like the first computer with it. But now we have a new iMac with the M3 chip. There's no Pro or Max variants on these, thankfully, because what are you gonna do with all that processing power? You get the regular box standard M3 chip with the 8-core CPU, 10-core GPU, and the up to 24 gigabytes of RAM. Though normal spec will be starting at like something like 8 gigabytes of RAM, which should be enough for a lot of users. Yeah, so it's again 8 gigabytes of RAM. For a lot of users, it's gonna be all right. So you'll probably be doing fine. So pretty cool in a way. Other than that, other than the fact that it has a main M3 chip, if you've had an i5 iMac, this is gonna be a pretty strong upgrade. If you also had the M1 iMac, it'll be a pretty good, pleasant upgrade. That's the least I can think of. A pleasant upgrade compared to the first Apple Silicon iMac. Also, interestingly, it has a 16-core neural engine, so you can run an AI algorithm on board. You can do a generative AI, you can run a do you know those like text to image generative AI algorithms? You can do that easily without any hitches. So that's pretty interesting. Pretty much you get 30% faster load times on apps like Excel and Safari. You get three times again, you can now edit and playback 12 streams of 4K video. So again, great for content creators and influencers and the type. So that's pretty cool in a way. And as I said, pretty much you have again, you get a 4.5K Retina display, the latest Wi-Fi 6E, Bluetooth 5.3, 500 nits brightness display. That's the 24-inch display. Full HD FaceTime cameras, studio quality mics, because this is a box standard all-in-one PC, so it's better have all the bells and whistles for that. Six speaker sound system, kind of like the M1 iMac, so it's sort of similar but a little bit better. It comes in seven colors: green, yellow, orange, pink, purple, blue, and silver, with color matched wallpapers and also color matched keyboard, mouse, and trackpad if you get the option for that. So that's pretty cool in a way. And also, it apparently has better support for the iPhone. This is with the latest version of Mac. So that means that you can, on top of the typical continuity features, you can now copy images, video, text from an app on the iPhone and move it over to the iMac without any interruptions. And this is like in the latest version of macOS Sonoma, which is going to be coming on this iMac out of the box. So that's pretty cool. And again, made on 100% recycled aluminium, recycled rare earth magnets, tin soldering, recycled, and for example, for the first time, 100% recycled gold in the plating of circuit boards. So that's pretty cool in a way. And of course, it has been made carbon neutral, pretty much, so that's fairly impressive. So there are going to be two versions of the iMac, so both have M3, but as I said, one has 8-core GPU and another one has 10-core GPU. Now, the thing is, it sort of depends on your use case. Now, if you are a heavy video editor, you want to get the 10-core GPU because you'll get much faster rendering. The 8-core GPU is like the casual type, you know, you edit in 4K, luckily you shoot on your iPhone and then you decide to edit a day in my life vlog in 4K, so it'd be enough for those users. But if you want a little bit more GPU power to get through, to chew through rendering, the 10-core GPU iMac with M3s would be enough. Pretty much both will come with the M3 chip. That's the big difference. It's kind of like the M1, that you had different GPU options, more or less. The iMac with the standard version, sort of, as I'll call it, 8-core CPU, 8-core GPU, will start at $1,299, so around $1,300 before taxes. And the 10-core GPU iMac M3, quite a mouthful, try saying that in a sentence, will set you back $1,499, around $1,500, roughly. And yeah, as I said, it's not a bad value for an all-in-one Mac, especially with the latest M3 chip. To be fair, if someone was in the market for an iMac before this, I would probably avoid getting the M1 iMac unless it's like on a very heavy discount. But now it's kind of gone down. But now we have the M3 iMac, so that's probably the one to get now. Pretty much, you know, the M3 iMac is, well, the one to get, as I've said. Alright, you're probably now wondering, which Mac should you be getting? Well, my recommendation, really. Well, for the MacBook Pro, it's about your use case, really. For the much, if you do like 8K HDR video editing, spatial 360 degree video editing, you know, you record videos at 4K, 360 degree, and you're doing that kind of stuff, then the M3 MacBook Pros would be great, because you get much faster video rendering, able to re-script through high-res video footage and work with so many streams of video at once. And live stream would be epic with this one, because you could do 4K high frame rate HDR 4K video streaming with the M3 Max MacBook Pro. That's my opinion, really. But if you're just a regular user, the M3 MacBook Pro would be great. In a way, if you're doing like app development, you're working with high-res content, you're editing high-res videos and photos, also you're developing apps and sort of kind of also working on AI, and sometimes you go into the cloud to work on AI, the M3 Pro MacBook Pro would be great, pretty much. And yeah, the iMac, if you have the M1, really, it's a good upgrade. It's a pleasant upgrade, as I've said. But compared to the sort of the final sort of Intel iMacs, you're going leaps and bounds ahead, definitely. So that's something to keep in mind. For the MacBook Pro, if you've kind of have the Intel MacBook Pros, now this is the time to really upgrade to the M series chip MacBooks, because you're now going to get the real performance benefit and that kind of juicy performance that we've come to expect with the M series chips. If you have an M2, don't bother. Don't even think about upgrading. Just wait like a few more years. And if you have an M1, then kind of upgrade. You know, you're not gonna lose out, honestly, if you still use the M1 MacBooks. But you'll definitely get a pleasant bump. You kind of get a pleasant experience, more or less. All right. Well, we're sticking to Apple. Let's talk about health, or the Apple Watch. Apple is investing heavily in health technology with plans to develop its devices into health and fitness tools. The company is working on a glucose monitor, blood pressure sensor, and a virtual health and fitness coach, among other projects. However, these technologies are primarily focused on prevention and wellness rather than treatment, of course, because there's regulatory issues regarding surrounding that and potential for inaccurate results, pretty much. Despite these challenges, Apple sees a significant opportunity in the health and fitness tracker market, pretty much because they're already offering the Apple Watch, but primarily it's projected to be a nearly $200 billion industry, a $200 billion a year industry within a decade, pretty much. And this was reported by Mark Gurman and another reporter at Bloomberg, that Apple established a sort of a division, a little company that worked on creating, according to Bloomberg, a non-invasive blood sugar monitor, which would have helped with folks who had diabetes. And the plan was to integrate that into the Apple Watch, on the first Apple Watch, along with things like heart rate monitoring and fitness tracking through the app. But apparently, despite breakthroughs, Apple's health monitoring and disease prevention efforts have met with various obstacles, including philosophical disagreements, a conservative culture, and technological challenges. This has led to the slowing down or scrapping of several promising projects, causing frustration among the hired doctors and engineers. That's sort of summarized according to, again, this is sort of like a summary in a nutshell. So that's pretty interesting. So it was actually a very long read article, so I got an AI to give me a very, very short sort of summary, and not bad, eh? So that's pretty, in case you're wondering how I've got through it very quickly. So apparently, you know, the Apple Watch has sort of become the fitness tracker that Apple wanted it to be all along. It's kind of worked in a way. And now they're going to add new features, including the plan to introduce hypertension and sleep apnea detection for the Apple Watch and hearing aid capabilities for AirPods next year. Along with that, Apple is looking to focus on prevention and not like figuring out treatments using sensors on the Apple Watch and iPhone. But again, focusing on prevention, making sure, because they've sort of figured that out, and making sure that people get their first vital signs of their health and can go check a doctor for more. So apparently Apple had projects including a nutrition tracker, bathroom scale, and a blood pressure cuff. And they considered making the Apple Watch and the Apple Health app comparable with Android, but apparently they wanted to protect the iPhone, so they scrapped it, according to the report from Bloomberg. So that's pretty interesting in a way. And apparently we're working on lots of things, but apparently, based on the reports, there was like a fear that if they got this wrong, it would have ruined Apple's public image, so they didn't really press ahead further, because again, it would have been very, very risky in that sense. I mean, just imagine the danger if, for example, if Apple's is like a diabetes tracker, they did actually bring it and then turns out it gave the wrong information and news spread like wildfire, it would have damaged Apple's brand value like crazy. So, well, you know, I mean, they did work on it, but, well, you know, God knows better, it didn't really come out. So, you know, for the better, potentially, you never know. So that's pretty interesting in a way. But yeah, they're also, Apple is apparently developing anti-anxiety enhanced meditation features for the Apple Vision Pro, along with sleep apnea detection that's already on Apple Watch. And also, again, they want to expand the thermometer feature on the Apple Watch to detect fevers, which would be a serious feature that actually would help a lot of people. If you could detect a fever straight away, it can you can really cure and diagnose a lot of diseases from it without any issue. But it's gonna take its sweet time because there's regulatory approval, there's testing, and you gotta get it right, pretty much. So again, it's more about well-being and prevention, pretty much according to the Bloomberg reporters. So that's pretty interesting. But again, it is obvious that Apple is looking to make a big, Apple wants to make big waves in the world of medicine and health and fitness, and it really could make a huge impact compared to, say, the Mac or the iPhone, where it's kind of been sort of in the back, it's kind of been there, but again, not like in a big way, like saving people's lives or prolonging people's lives like it is in wellness or healthcare. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, a lot can change between now and next year. You never know. So that's pretty interesting in a way. All right, switching gears pretty much. A user on X by the name of Phantom Pains with two S's at the end has given us a glimpse of the PS5 Slim. Basically, the Slim is, in the pictures, the Slim is slightly smaller than the OG PS5, slightly skinnier and shorter in the photo. In another shared photo that has now been deleted, when you connect the disk drive to the PS5, apparently you will need to connect to the internet in order to utilize it. When an on-screen message reading "Can't use your disk drive," you need to connect your PS5 to the network to register your disk drive to your PS5. Could this be a form of DRM for Sony, or just a preventative measure to stop folks from installing third-party accessories or disk drives? Only time will tell. We will definitely find out when the PS5 goes on sale. Intel is doing an event on December 14th where we will kind of get our first look at the latest Meteor Lake Core Ultra processors. These are like sort of higher, more advanced than the i9 processor in a way, along with the Emerald Rapids 5th Gen Xeon Scalable server-grade processors. The theme of the event, generally, is AI everywhere, highlighting their push to be the hardware supplier of choice for AI applications, whether it's powering entire LLM algorithms on Xeon chips or showing off the onboard AI processing on devices with Core i7 or Core Ultra chips. It'll be interesting to see what Intel has been cooking up in the past year, pretty much given the aggressive competition from the likes of NVIDIA, Apple and Qualcomm potentially, and which are making ARM processors and also NVIDIA's GPUs. So it'll be interesting to see what they have in store with their latest processors. Right, let's end this on a pretty good note. The Galaxy Z Flip 5 is going to get another limited edition, and that is the Galaxy Z Flip 5 Retro. It's quite stylish, let's just say that. This is actually based on the Samsung E700, also one of the original flip phones from Samsung, and again, a very influential flip phone if you remember having one in a way. This is going to be a unique limited edition phone. It's going to, in the box, you'll be getting a case, stickers, the phone itself, and sort of like this little collector card, like an homage to the E700. And it also comes in the colors of the E700 in this sort of indigo blue and silver finish. So you have the silver frame and indigo blue back glass. So that's pretty cool in a way. We don't know the pricing, but it's going to be over $1,000 when it does actually go on sale. It's already available in South Korea and also be available it's already also available in Europe. So if you want to get this Retro Edition Z Flip 5, it will be available in the UK, France, Germany, Spain, Australia, and South Korea. It'll be over $1,000 for this, so it's pretty interesting in a way. And it's a pretty cool limited edition. If you're a fan of classic flip phones, then you might want to look at this. This and the Razer 40 are like kind of an homage to the original flip phones, that is. Alrighty, we've reached the end of this week's episode, our 150th episode, surprisingly. Surprise, surprise. So can't believe this podcast actually came this far, 3 years, 150 episodes. I did take many, many breaks, so we would have been on our 200th episode, but 150 episodes. If you've been listening all this time since 2020, I don't know if you really are, thank you so much. And I've kind of been doing this for 3 years, and again, I really appreciate your support. And also, before I kind of go, I would want to kind of gently remind you that it's been horrible scenes in Gaza. And my hearts go out to all the people of Gaza and Palestine. Very tough times they're going through. And also, again, very extraordinary circumstances in this part of the world. So I really, really hope that there is peace, and we do get some peace, inshallah, and that there we find our way out of this in a way. If you want to help the folks affected in Gaza, there are links in the show notes, so you can go and donate right away and all that good stuff. So that's the most we can do. It's probably the one act of humanity we can do. We can kind of pray, we can donate, and we can spread awareness. So If you're probably out of the loop, I would highly suggest you probably do some research. There is a resource I'd want to share. It's called the Palestine Academy. You can Google it, and it's a very useful resource, and you'll probably learn a thing or two about why we are where we kind of are right now, and what it sort of all means, and all that. So yeah, do check it out when you have the time, in a way. But yeah, we've reached the end of this episode. What do you think of everything so far? Let me know. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Sayed_Mao99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe where you're listening right now, so you don't miss another episode. Probably our 151st episode and more. Leave a review on Apple and Spotify if you can. And yeah, till next week, this is your boy Mao signing up. Wherever you are, whatever you're up to, stay safe. I mean, what else can I say, really? Stay safe. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And yeah, thank you very much for listening, all right? See you next week, all right? Ciao.